Your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter in your Scofield Bible, page 1236. Beginning with verse 6, we'll read through verse 15. Verses 6 through 15 of the 9th chapter, 2 Corinthians, page 1236. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these verses responsibly. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And the words of that last verse are the words in the text for this evening's message. Let's pray. Our Father, we surely praise thee. It's good to be here. It's a wonderful thing. Nowhere on earth is there anything going on that would attract our attention more or appeal to us more, because we love thee and we love thy word and we love this church and we love our preacher. Bless tonight in the service, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, our limitless salvation. It's been a hot summer, so I think we'll just have a little fun tonight. Tonight we're not going anywhere, we're just going to drive around town for a while, and we're just going to look at the pretty scenery. And most of my sermons, we're going somewhere. But tonight we're not going to go anywhere, it's hot, we're going to take our salvation out and look at it for a while. I want to speak tonight on our limitless salvation. Brother Colston led us in reading a while ago. I said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to talk to you tonight about that wonderful, wonderful salvation. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing. I want to be used of God tonight. I pray that our salvation shall be made to appear so wonderful that other people who do not possess it will want it. May it be so attractive that people who are not saved will come and enjoy the salvation that we have and enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want us to take our salvation out and examine it for a while. I want you to notice look at what cannot be done to it. I begin by saying our salvation is unmovable. It is unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us that. What does that mean? That means that I am in Christ and you cannot get me out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What does that mean? That means that he is in me and he won't come out. Colossians 1:27. What does this unmovable salvation mean? It means I am hid with Christ and the devil can't find me. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. What does this unmovable salvation mean? It means I am born again, you can't unborn me. In John chapter 3 and verse 5. What does this immovable salvation mean? It means I am held in His omnipotent hand and you can't get me out. John chapter 10 verse 27 through 29. What does this unmovable salvation mean? It means that I am held in the omnipotent hand of my Heavenly Father as well as in the omnipotent hand of my Savior, and nobody can take me out of His hand. John 10, 27 through 29. What does this unmovable salvation mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is in me as God's down payment for my salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, if the Holy Spirit is in me as the down payment of my salvation, then if that salvation is movable and I could be lost again, that means that the Godhead would have to be divided and the Holy Spirit separated from the Father and the Son, because the Holy Spirit is the earnest for my salvation. God said, Jack, I let him call me Jack. God said, Jack, I'm going to save you. And He said, I'm not going to rapture you yet. I'm not going to take you to heaven yet. You won't get your glorified body yet. But I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as earnest money. And if I don't get you to heaven, I'll lose the Holy Spirit. Ah, talk about losing your salvation. Funny, 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 funny. My salvation is unmovable. What does it mean? It means that He is able to keep me from falling and present me before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. What does this unmovable salvation mean? It means that my name is in the book of life and cannot be erased. That's exactly what it means. What is this unmovable salvation? It means I came to Him, according to John 6:37, and He will in no wise cast me out. That means there's not a single reason under heaven why God would cast me out. If I make a mistake, He won't cast me out. If I commit a sin, He won't cast me out. If I disappoint Him, He won't cast me out. Why? Because what God does, He does forever. And He says, in no wise will He cast me out. What is this unmovable salvation? It means that I have made my calling and election sure, and because of that, 2 Peter 1:5 says, I shall never fall. What is this unmovable salvation? It means I was called before the foundation of the world, Romans 8:30. It means I was justified before the foundation of the world, Romans 8:30. It means I was glorified. Hey, way back yonder before there was ever a world, before the sun came and put in the sky, before God made the moon and the stars, before God made this planet, God looked down and saw with His foreknowledge that I was going to trust Him. And God said to the Holy Spirit, go ahead and justify Him right now. And even glorify Him. Listen, before there was ever a world, I was as good as in my glorified body. Funny, 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 lose your salvation. Unmovable. It means 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. It means the old account was settled long ago. It means that my name was written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. It means that I was placed in Him, Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world. It means John 17:24. He loved me before the foundation of the world. Hey, three cheers for Jesus. Glory, amen, praise God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, whoopee and rah-rah. I have an immovable, unmovable salvation. Now this is the second thing about that salvation I want to call your attention tonight. It cannot be changed, and that is not only is it unmovable, but it's unblameable. Colossians 1:22. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. What does that mean? That means the devil can't blame me. Why? Jesus took my blame 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. The devil can't blame me. My blame has been removed. Did you hear me? My blame has been removed. Did you hear me? My blame has been removed from the books of heaven. And
Thank God tonight, not one single sin is recorded against my record in heaven. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Hey, that's good enough for me. I ask him eternally, why? Praise God, my sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. I'm trying to tell you tonight, I have an unmovable salvation. I have an unblameable salvation. He refuses to place blame on the books of glory. His righteousness has been credited to me. In those books, Psalm 32:2 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. You said that's Old Testament. Glad you said that. Let's go to the New Testament, Romans 4:8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. That means when I got saved, that means when I got saved, I got a better microphone. That means when I got saved, God said, I'm wiping every sin off the book. You say for the house, well, you don't have to pay for those sins are paid for. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. So God wiped my past sins off the book. And he said, I'll not ever record a sin against you ever. And he said, not only that, but I am going to record the personal righteousness of my son, Jesus Christ. You look at my record tonight, you won't see my stubbornness listed there. You won't see my indifference listed there. You won't see my sometimes cold heart listed there. You won't see my sometimes temper display listed there. You'll see the goodness of Jesus himself registered on my record tonight. Why? My salvation is unblameable. Satan the accuser, Revelation 12:10, comes to God and says, look at old Bob O'Clair. Look at his sins. Good night, take his whole room to list all of his sins. Look at old Bob O'Clair, all of his sins. And Satan says to God, put him down. And God says, I will not. I will not. Satan says, you understand what sins he's committed? And God said, what sins are you talking about? What sin? And God looks up his book, and he looks under old Claire, and he says, I'll declare. And Satan said, why, he sinned yesterday. And God said, I've forgotten about that. I've forgotten about it. I'm saying, when you trusted Jesus Christ, hallelujah, you became unblameable. And God gave you a salvation that's unblameable. And God said he'd wipe every sin of your past and not every cord of sin in the future. You say, Brother House, does that? Yeah, that's what that means. You say, that means that too. It means, blessed be God, that Jesus Christ took your blame on himself on the cross of Calvary. Well, you said, Brother House, I think I'll earn my salvation. Brother, you've got 10,000 times more bad things than you've got good things. You'll take it free or you won't get it at all. My salvation is unmovable, and my salvation is unblameable. Number three, my salvation's unchangeable. Unchangeable. Can't be changed. My name is written down in heaven, and it cannot be changed. I'm talking about Hebrews 7:14. It's unchangeable. Not only is it unmovable and unblameable, but my salvation is unchangeable. My name, it will always be there, and it can't be changed. I'll always be his child, and that can't be changed. I'll always have the Holy Spirit living in my body, and that cannot be changed. I'll always have a home in heaven, bless God, and that cannot be changed. I feel sorry for these folks holding on, hanging out, trying to hold out faithful to the end. You didn't hold out faithful to the beginning. You can't hold out faithful to the end. Your salvation is not earned. Your salvation is a gift of God Almighty. Unchangeable. I'll always be in him, and that cannot be changed. He'll always be in me, and that cannot be changed. I'm justified. And there come a change. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven. And He holds me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified. Hey, did you hear me? I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. And I always will be. Can it be changed? He always in me. I'm always forgiven, and that cannot be changed. He will always forget my sins, and that cannot be changed. I'm always an heir of God, and that cannot be changed. He's always my heavenly Father, and that cannot be changed. Jesus is always my Savior, and that cannot be changed. I have eternal life always, and that cannot be changed. I'm saying tonight, this wonderful salvation that I have is unmovable. You can't move it. You can't take it from me. It's unbreakable. My sins will never charge to my record. And it's unchangeable, brother. You can't change it at all. It'll always be the same because every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights in whom there cometh down from above. And the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Praise God. My salvation is unmovable. My salvation is unblameable. My salvation is unchangeable. Number four, my salvation is unrebukable. 1 Timothy 6:14. What does that mean? That means it's built on that word. And that word cannot be rebuked. And that word cannot be changed. Zondervan may try to change it, but Zondervan didn't change the eternal word of God. They just gave us a dirty counterfeit. Southern Baptists tried to change it, but they didn't change the eternal word of God. They gave us a counterfeit. The National Council of Churches with a dirty RSV, they tried to change it, but they didn't change the word of God. You can't change that book, and you can't find fault in that book. It's unrebukable. Salvation not built on my feelings. Sometimes I don't feel saved, but I'm just as saved as if I felt it. It's not built on my experience. Somebody wrote a song. I was there and it happened. I ought to know. I don't like that song. I like this one better. It's in the book and I ought to know. I used to say that the Bible, when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, was just as good as if it said if Jack Hiles would call upon the name of the Lord. I changed my mind. I got a letter from Phoenix, Arizona one day from another Jack Hiles. You didn't know there's another one, did you? There's two more. David and his wife had a baby and they named it Jack Hiles. So you stuck. They took that baby up the nursery and the ladies wouldn't change Jack Hiles' diaper. Ain't no way. We're not going to change Jack Hiles' diaper. On the crib there it said Jack Hiles. Not going to change his diaper. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. My salvation is built on His unrebukable word. It's built on His perfect word. It's built on His preserved word. It's built on His incorruptible word. It's built on His eternal word. It's built on His pure word. Not on the diluted NIV word. Not on the diluted RSV word. Not on the diluted ASV word. Not on the diluted Reader's Digest condensed word. Not on the diluted New King James word. Not on the diluted New Scofield word. Not on the diluted American Bible Society word. Not on the diluted Dewey Version word. Not on the diluted New American Standard word. Not on the diluted Moffitt's word. Sorry about that. Not on the diluted Goodspeed word, not on the diluted amplified word, but on the perfect King James Word of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I know I'm saved tonight because I have an unrebukable Bible. God's perfect Bible. I die and go to heaven if I die and go to heaven. When I die, and I get to heaven, God says to me, you can't come in. I'm going in now. You say you're going to break in? Won't have to break in. I've got it all figured out. I'm going to show God Titus 1:2, where it says God cannot lie. I'm going to show God Hebrews 6:18, where it says God cannot lie. Impossible, it says, for God to lie. And I'll say, dear God, can you lie? He'll say, no. I'll say, is it impossible for you to lie? He'll say, yes. I'll say, John 3:15 says, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Did you say that? He'll say, yes. I'll say, do you remember back under when I was almost 11 years old in August of 1937 when I trusted you and believed on you as my Savior? He'll say, yes. What did you say right there in John 3:15? He said, I said you had eternal life. Are you going to tell the truth or not? And God will say, come on in, son. I'll take him to John 3:16, John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8-9. I'll show it to him. Let me tell you, our God cannot lie. If God says my sins are gone, they're gone. If my salvation is unrebukable, the Word of God is unrebukable. My salvation, unmovable, unblameable, unchangeable, and unrebukable. Number five. Don't get your hopes up. I've got 18. No, I'm just kidding. But I got some more. My salvation is unspeakable. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. How wonderful is my salvation? No way to tell you. It's unspeakable. How great is it? No way to tell you. It's unspeakable. It's unmovable, unblameable, unrebukable, unchangeable, unspeakable. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He came back, and as if folks were going to ask him, what did you see? Paul said, I can't tell you. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Unspeakable. If I should try to tell you tonight how wonderful it is to be saved, my lips would fail as I tried to describe the wonder of salvation. If I were trying to tell you tonight how wonderful it is to know, and you folks that don't know this, God help you to know it, that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Hey, I'm almost 69 years old, brother. I've got about 13 months till I've got my 80. But brother, if I fall while I'm preaching tonight, don't you cry for me. I'll be playing tag with the angels up in the glory land. Unspeakable. Unspeakable joy to know I'm saved. Unspeakable joy to know my sins are gone. Unspeakable joy to know I'm going to heaven when I die. Unspeakable joy to know forever and ever and ever and ever and ever I'll walk the streets of gold and through the gates of pearl. Unspeakable. God, when He talks about this unspeakable salvation, use the little word so. So. You said to your wife, I love you so much. You said to your husband, I like you too. I love you so much. It says in Acts 14, verse 1, and they so spake that multitudes believed. How do they speak? No way to tell you how they spoke. How good was it? No way to describe it. They so spake. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? Can't tell you how much He loved the world. No words can describe it. No pen or parchment can record it. No artist can paint it with his brush. No writer can write it with his quill. No way to describe how much God loved the world. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill, and with a sky of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. Lord of God, it's unspeakable. When the Apostle Paul tried to tell us in Hebrews 2:3 how great salvation was, he simply said, it's so great. How great, Paul? I can't tell you how great. There are no words in the vocabulary to describe the greatness of salvation, but how great? So great. How great? So great. How great is this salvation? It's so great. Unspeakable. You folks sitting there tonight as if you ain't already written in heaven. Boy, I thank you. My blood pressure goes up when I think about it. How great is this salvation? So great that before there was ever a world, God looked down and saw His creature, man, was going to sin. How great was this salvation? So great that God saw that man was going to sin, and God's compassion was poured out on His creatures that were going to fall. How great was this salvation? So great that Jesus said, Father, if you let me go, I'll go to the earth, become a man, take upon my own self the sins of fallen man, live for 33 homesick years, go to Calvary, take man's sins upon my body and be crucified and pay for the sins of man and be raised again after 72 hours for justification and rise up to heaven and sit at your right hand and intercede for man forever. How great is this salvation? So great that in the fullness of time, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. How great was this salvation? So great that Joseph cradled the Christ child in his arms in Bethlehem's manger. How great was this salvation? So great! Shepherds watching their flocks by night, interrupted with a chorus of angelic hosts singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How great was this salvation? So great that angels came and worshiped the Christ child. How great was this salvation? So great that the wise men came from the east and brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and laid it at His feet. How great was this salvation? So great that Jesus was 33 homesick years away from heaven. Foxes had their holes. Birds had their nests. The Son of Man had no place to lay His head. How great was this salvation? It was so great that Jesus Christ was rejected by His own city, cast out of His own synagogue, rejected by His own race, crucified by His own creatures. How great was this salvation? So great, thanks be to God Almighty. Jesus went to Calvary, and on the cross my sins and yours were recorded on His record. And God the Father looked and saw sin and turned His back on His Son. And Jesus cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And your sins were paid for in full on the cross. How great was this salvation? So great. They put Him in Joseph's borrowed tomb. How great was this salvation? So great. After 72 hours up from the grave, He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. Death could not hold Him. Satan could not keep Him. Sin could not conquer Him. How great was this salvation? So great He ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And tonight He's my high priest, my intercessor, my mediator, my daysman, my go-between, pleading my case. And brother, before you can get me lost, you've got to take it up with my lawyer. Judge Ito can't condemn me. I'm as guilty as O.J. Simpson may be. I'm not sure he is, but I know I am. But my heavenly judge saw the blood of His own Son sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. John MacArthur doesn't know this, but God knows it. God declared me perfectly righteous. Why? So great a salvation. Unspeakable. Unblameable. Unrebukable. Unmovable is my salvation. How great is this salvation? Can't describe it. It's unspeakable. So great. One of these days, that little grave out there we opened up last Monday morning is going to open. And that little body, 12 days old when it quit breathing, is going to come forth from that little grave. And my mama's going to come out of that mausoleum crypt out there. The dead in Christ shall rise. And those that used to live with us will live with us again. And those that once walked with us will walk with us again. How great is that salvation? So great that we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll see Him. I was thinking tonight, I've been preaching about Him for 50 years. It's coming October 24th. I've never seen Him. I've never seen His face. I don't know how tall He is. I don't know what kind of physique He has. But I'm going to see Him one of these days. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. And we'll see him. And I love that one little line. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Let's just drive around town tonight and look at this wonderful salvation we have. Then my Bible says salvation's so great, we're going to get married. Look at me carefully. I'm going to be a lovely bride one of these days. And I'm going to come down dressed in my wedding gown, bless God, made out of all the souls I've won to Christ and all the people I've tried to help. My Bible says our wedding gown will be the righteous deeds we've done for God, and some of you folks are going to have bikinis for a wedding gown. You pew fillers. Some of you might be worse than that. How great is this salvation? So great. After 7 years in the sky, during 7 years in the air, there's going to be a judgment seat. And Jesus is going to be the judge. You say, he's going to judge us? Whether or not we go to heaven or hell? No, that was taken care of the day I trusted Christ. My sins were judged on Calvary. He's going to give us rewards according to our faithfulness in serving him. Well, he says, I can't wait till I get my rewards. Don't get too upset, too excited about it. You're going to give them up right away. The Bible said the crowns are going to be taken off of our brows and hurled at Jesus' feet. We'll say, thou alone art worthy, O Lord, receive power and glory and honor, world without end. How great is this salvation? So great. We're going to saddle on white horses and come back to earth. How great is this salvation? So great that our captain's going to walk up the royal stairs of Mount Zion and become king of the whole world. And then the Bosnia situation will be all straightened out. And if it's not straightened out, I'll just go over myself and straighten it out. He says, I don't believe in all this excitement. You would if you'd get a good dose of religion. How great is this salvation? So great at the end of that kingdom. John said he saw the holy city coming, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I'm going to live in a city forever where no little child will ever die. No couples will ever divorce. No children will ever spend some time with daddy and then go visit mama a couple of days a week or spend some time with daddy a couple of days a week. Nobody will ever have cancer. No little child will ever have leukemia. You don't live with this, but I do. It's the way I live all the time. Every week of my life, I live with this. Forever and ever and ever, I'm going to walk down golden streets and walk through gates of pearl in the New Jerusalem prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's how great it is. He says, is it that great? Greater. It's unspeakable. So great salvation. God so loved the world. Our salvation is unmovable. It's unblameable. It's unchangeable. It's unrebukable. It's unspeakable. That isn't all. It's unsearchable. Ephesians 3:8 says it's unsearchable. What does that mean? That means you'll never explore it all. Fifty-eight years ago, this month, a poor little boy, it seems so insignificant, 58 years ago this month, a little boy with bare feet, whose daddy was the neighborhood drunk, got on his knees out behind the Fernwood Baptist Church and said, dear God, if you'll take a poor little barefoot boy whose dad's a neighborhood drunk, I'll take you as my Savior. And I started that night studying what I got. We spent weeks teaching it on Wednesday night here. Bob Gray spent weeks teaching on Wednesday night down there. His son's going to spend years preaching it around the country in evangelistic crusades. But I've never yet begun to explore or to search the unsearchable riches of His glory, of this salvation. Brother Clare said something like that tonight. Wonderful thing about it is, the more you learn about it, the more you find out you don't know about it. glory be to God, 1,000 years from now, I still will be panning for gold and finding the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. 10,000 years or 10 million years from now, I'll still be searching salvation. And brother, I believe most every day in heaven, I start to say, wake up in the morning, I have to go to sleep. Won't be any morning because it won't be any night. Which means I can preach forever. You say, I thought you already did. Every day, every once in a while, we'll find new riches. And keep on searching and find new ones. And keep on searching and find new ones. And keep on searching and find new ones. Our salvation is unsearchable. My salvation's unmovable. My salvation's unblameable. My salvation's unchangeable. My salvation's unrebukable. My salvation is unspeakable. And my salvation is unsearchable. Number 7. My salvation is unreprovable, the Bible says. What does that mean? That means you can't disprove it. You say, well, how scientifically we cannot prove the Bible is true. Oh, you dumb, stupid scientist. You can't prove evolution is true either. And I can dead sure come near proving that Bible's true than you can proving evolution is true. A scientist, a college professor on an airplane told me how man got his legs. This little protoplasm one day was wiggling around. And one day a wart came. And that wart got infected. And it started growing. And man had a leg. That's science. That's what they teach at the University of Indiana. Bunch of idiots. And then man got another wart. Now what if that wart been on the other side? You'd have walked that with cartwheel down the street.
Can you imagine?
Down the street. That's science. Get my pants up here and I'll preach a while longer. I lost 5 more pounds and I'm going to have to get my britches taken up. I lose them. I'm not going to say the rest of that. And this scientist told me that's the way man got his legs. I thought that really is scientific. And then he said, you know how he got his eyes? He said man had a freckle. And he said that freckle got infected. It became an eye. And he said he had another freckle. It's amazing how those two freckles got right together. You heard me say this before. It's a good thing one freckle wasn't on the bottom side. You have to take your pants off to see. I can shoot holes full of every scientific so-called theory about the stupid theory of evolution. I can shoot holes through it. But I can take this Bible and show you in this Bible that it's true, it's real, and you can't disprove it, the Bible says. I can take this Bible and show you 700 years before Jesus was virgin born that he would be virgin born. I can take this Bible and show you 700 years before Jesus was crucified that he would be crucified. I can take this Bible and show you 700 years before he rose from the dead that he would rise from the dead. I can take you this Bible and show you 500 years before his birth the exact city where he'd be born. I can take this Bible and show you exactly the year that Jesus would come 1,000 years before he, or 500 years before he came. It told in the Bible the exact year he'd come and be crucified. I can take this Bible and show you words he was going to say on Calvary 1,000 years before he said them. I can take this Bible and show you that the automobile was prophesied before Jesus was ever born. I can take this Bible and show you that freeways were prophesied before this world that Jesus was ever born. I can take this Bible and show you the airplane was prophesied. I can take this Bible and show you that electricity was prophesied. I can take this Bible and show you electric lights were prophesied. I can take this Bible and show you that the radio was prophesied. I can take this Bible and show you that the telephone was prophesied. I can take this Bible and tell you, show you how that the television was prophesied. And you can't give me one proof of scientific evidence about creation that is as provable as I can prove that Word of God. Show me your proof of evolution. What a salvation. Unmovable. What a salvation. Unblameable. What a salvation. Unchangeable. What a salvation. Unrebukable. What a salvation. Unspeakable. What a salvation. Unsearchable. What a salvation. Unreprovable. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Whoopee. Hot dog. Rah-rah. And praise be to God for this unspeakable, unmovable, unrefutable, unreprovable salvation. Unspeakable and unsearchable salvation that God has given to us. And my Bible says He's made it available to all men. That means you. That means the poorest little bus kid in this house tonight can come down here to this altar, get on your knees and say yes to Jesus Christ, and everything I preached about tonight is yours. You can go home, be the richest person. You can be worth more than the richest man in Chicago. One day I was in the mayor's office years ago, not this mayor. I was in the mayor's office. He looked at me and he said, "Your folks aren't very rich." He said, I said, "Listen, if I brought a bucket of concrete up here and said, you do what I say because I got a bucket of concrete." I said, "What would you say?" He said, "I wouldn't do anything because you got a bucket of concrete. We pave the streets with that." I said, "We pave the streets with gold in my hometown." What a salvation. Tonight, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, everything I've spoken about tonight can be yours exactly like that. Every sin on your record can be wiped clean. God will never write another sin against your record. He'll write on your record the personal righteousness of Jesus Christ. He'll forgive every sin, forget every sin you ever committed, start preparing a home in heaven for you. It's all yours by trusting Christ. And to those of you tonight who've already had it, why don't you rejoice in it? Won't you live like it? It deserves more than you watching that box every night. It deserves more than you puffing on a cigarette or a cigar or chewing your tobacco. It deserves more than you sipping your cocktail. It deserves more than running around town wearing a bunch of shorts or pants like the heathen do. I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet a thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. Shall we stand? The choir will sing and you obey him as he speaks to your heart during the invitation time.